We're back. Incendiary Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Now, remember as I'm playing this, and we're going to resume it in a second. Remember as I'm playing this that I am considering when they're talking about this Jesuit order, and you look at remember the picture of Medusa, right, with the snakes right on her head. I'm looking that, like this head as basically the scribes, the Pharisees, and the money changers as the head of Medusa, okay? And I'm looking at one of the big snakes on its head as the Jesuit order. And so when I'm talking about this being kind of interchangeable with the kosher mafia. Now, and also we've got to keep like a perspective here about, let's look at Dennis Wise and NWO communism by the back door. Greatest story never told. That kind of vision where Franco, Mussolini, and Hitler necessarily weren't the bad guys here in World War II, that the Roosevelt, Stalin, and Churchill, you know, their controllers, Bernard Baruch and all these other characters, being manipulator bad guys as well. And then so a lot of people look at what happened to Franco and Mussolini and Hitler as basically a double cross by the Jesuits, especially if they were and are part of this worldwide Jewish gang that runs our world, especially with the money changers and the Pharisees and that. So it's almost like I'm looking at it kind of like the Jesuits being a wing of the Pharisees when I'm looking at this, versus the traditional Protestant New World Order kind of vision that the Catholic Church is the head of the snake and the Jews are their poor victims and so forth and so on. And so, you know, the 6 million people died in the camps with bowling alleys and hookers and all the rest of it. I'm trying not to get too complicated here, but what I am trying to do is to expose some of these machinations that, you know, you get into Cardinal Spellman and all this stuff that happened in Central America and the Vietnam War and all this crazy stuff. You got to look at this as an equation, like in algebra. And you got a lot of things plugged in here to this equation. And to purposefully blind yourself to part of the equation, you're never going to come out to the right answer. Like quadratic equations. I remember that, taking that in college. Well, guess what? Those whole long things that you got to plug in order for a quadratic equation to come out right, you have to plug the right thing in the right place. And if you don't, you're never going to come to the right answer. And so this is why from time to time I banter back and forth with this thing with, you know, Jews versus Jesuits, or are they versus each other, or do they work in synergy? And you read these old articles about, you know, the Jesuit order, you know, as a synagogue of Jews, that book from Marx, and all this stuff about a bunch of these guys being cryptos coming out of Spain, being conversos and Muranos and all that stuff. And then comes up Opus Dei Monsignor Escriva and Opus Dei, and he was surrounded by a bunch of rabbis and all this strange stuff. So things coming out of Spain with these cryptos, and Italy as well. Very fascinating, because you're looking at a more complicated equation. Is it the Jews? Is it the Jesuits? Rothschilds being the Vatican banker since the 1800s, keepers of the papal treasure, and all this weird stuff. All right, so let's, now that I've kind of put that out there, let's go ahead and resume some of this. Go ahead and hit play on that again.
Because of the congresses at Vienna and Verona in 1814 and 1822, there was an English statesman who was at both of those meetings. His name was Lord George Canning. And in Burke McCarty's book called The Suppressed Truth About the Assassination of Lincoln, it says in there that George Canning warned the United States government as to what was going on. Canning was in contact with a man by the name of John Quincy Adams, who was a congressman at that time. He wrote to Adams, he said, "The monarchs of Europe, the Pope, and the Jesuits are planning to destroy America." Quincy Adams took the information to the president at that time, a man by the name of Jim Monroe. We know him as James Monroe. James Monroe took the information, wrote to a former president who was still alive at that time. The man's name was Tom Jefferson, who was in retirement at Monticello. Jefferson wrote back to Monroe and he said, "This is the greatest affront to America since the Revolution." He said, "We need to do everything we can to oppose and stop this holy alliance set up by the monarchs of Europe, the Pope, and the Jesuit order."
In his letter to Monroe in 1823, Jefferson said he did not want to pass up an opportunity of declaring our protest against the atrocious violations of the rights of nations by the interference of anyone in the internal affairs of another, so flagitiously begun by Bonaparte and now continued by the equally lawless alliance calling itself holy.
America's response to these two congresses was James Monroe's State of the Union address called the Monroe Doctrine, where he told the powers of Europe, he said, "You stay over there, you fight your wars in Europe, we'll stay over here.
Mr. Producer, if you could
pause. Colonize in the Western Hemisphere."
Okay, so the Monroe Doctrine completely has failed. The Vatican, I mean, you've got everybody and their brother that has penetrated the Western Hemisphere. You had the Soviets. Of course, you've had all kinds of Israeli Mossad activity running around in Central and South America. So the Monroe Doctrine, it failed, unfortunately. And look, And as after the Monroe Doctrine anyway, look what happens. The United States gets totally penetrated by this mafia anyway. And so the whole hemisphere basically fell to foreign powers, whether they, you know, whether you want to call them the money changers, which we know are Jewish, or the, you know, the Rome, whatever you want to call this juggernaut that calls itself, you know, the New World Order, or, you know, treaty, the Club of Rome, this whole kind of globalization, whatever word you want to use towards this, you know, World Economic Forum is the latest boogeyman with Schwab and Harari. Very, very fascinating that you've got a guy like Schwab and Harari, you know, buddied up together, because they're basically both, you could say, emblematic of the two things we're talking about right now. Go ahead and resume that.
"We will consider it an act of war." That was the Monroe Doctrine. But in our history books today, we read nothing of the role of the Pope and the Jesuit order to destroy America. Nothing is in the books today to that effect.
Of course not.
But that's why the Monroe Doctrine was written.
the Jesuits convened a meeting in Chari, Italy, in 1825 to discuss tactics for dealing with the Protestant nations. Unknown to the 13 Jesuits gathered for this clandestine meeting, a young novice named Leone was in the adjoining library. Leone could not believe his ears and began to take notes of what was being said for posterity. An English translation appeared in 1848. What Leone heard was no less than the Jesuit plan for world domination and the destruction of heretics, especially the heretics in Protestant America. As to the Jesuit plan for world government, you well know that what we aim at is the empire of the world. As to their plan for working in secret, let us prefer a secret war, which, though less brilliant, is more sure to bring us the advantage. Let us shun too much light. As to the Pope, also known as the Vicar of Christ, we may say that God designs for extermination, like the Canaanites, all the nations that obstinately refuse to enter into the unity of the Church, and that the Vicar of Jesus Christ is appointed to execute these judgments in due time. As to Protestant and non-Roman Catholics who do not join Rome, we have, however, one source of rejoicing. We cherish at the bottom of our hearts this principle that whatever does not unite with us must be annihilated. That Protestantism must therefore be utterly abolished. As to the Bible, then the Bible, that serpent which, with head erect and eyes flashing fire, threatens us with its venom whilst it trails along the ground, shall be changed again into a rod as soon as we are able to seize it. And what wounds will we not inflict with it upon these hardened pharaohs and their cunning magicians? The Monroe Doctrine was ratified in 1823. The Jesuit meeting in Chari, Italy, took place in 1825. 1 year later, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson died on the same day. Both of these former presidents and defenders of the Constitution died on July 4, 1826. What are the odds that these two men, so critical to the birth of the United States and enemies of the Holy Alliance, the Vatican, and the Jesuits, would die on the same day? The day they died was the 50th anniversary of the adoption of the Declaration of Independence.
Are you getting that?
Autopsies were not performed on the former presidents, and it was assumed that they died of natural causes. Another strange coincidence would be the death of James Monroe on yet another 4th of July in 1831. Monroe left office in 1825 and supposedly died of tuberculosis 6 years later. It should be noted that the symptoms associated with arsenic poisoning, difficulty in breathing, dryness and tightness of the throat,
seizures,
and burning pain are similar to those of tuberculosis. George Morgan commented on these strange circumstances in his book, The Life of James Monroe. Morgan states, "As John Adams and Thomas Jefferson had died on the 4th 5 years before, Monroe's death added to the wonder, as though a power aloft had taken cognizance of the peculiar patriotism of these mortal men and had translated them." Is it possible that the power aloft was not from heaven and was not benign? Perhaps this power was not looking at the nationalism and patriotism of these men with joy as much as with a vengeful eye, as the Jesuit oath clearly states. A Jesuit vows to make and wage relentless war, secretly or openly, against all heretics, Protestants, and liberals, as I am directed to do, to extirpate and exterminate them from the face of the whole earth. That when the same cannot be done openly, I will secretly use the poison cup, the strangulation cord, the steel of the poniard, or the leaden bullet. Others have even pointed out George Washington's sudden death in 1799 as very suspicious.
There is evidence that the Jesuits assassinate a few American presidents before the war between the states. The first president they assassinated was George Washington. He was poisoned with anthrax. But one of his three attending physicians was behind that poisoning. Remember, from the day he took sick to the day he died, was a mere 2 to 2.5 days, according to Headley's great work, The Life of Washington. So he was murdered.
Why would the Jesuits want to kill George Washington? Like Jefferson, Adams, and Monroe, Washington was first and foremost a nationalist and warned against foreign influence. He promoted a policy of neutrality and the avoidance of European alliances. Washington repeated his isolationist policy in his farewell address that was published in newspapers throughout the country. Washington wrote, "It is our policy to steer clear of permanent alliances with any portion of the foreign world." Besides this admonition to avoid foreign alliances, Washington loudly declared America should keep itself free from foreign influence. "Against the insidious wiles of foreign influence, I conjure you to believe me, fellow citizens, the jealousy of a free people ought to be constantly awake." In addition to these publicly expressed opinions, Washington had acted swiftly to put down the Jacobin-inspired Whiskey Rebellion in 1793 with 15,000 troops. Instigating the rebellion was the French ambassador, Edmond Genet, and the revolutionary Democratic Clubs that had sprung up in America. Genet and the Democratic Clubs were linked to the Jacobin Clubs in France. In her book, World Revolution, Nesta Webster states, "These Jacobin clubs were organized by the Revolutionary Committee under the direct inspiration of the Bavarian Illuminati." The Jesuits created the Illuminati and were thus working through the Democratic clubs in America. Washington never realized he was taking on the Jesuits when he crushed the Whiskey Rebellion. John Adams became president after Washington left office. During John Adams' administration, war with Illuminati-controlled France was averted, but Washington made it known he would not resist a call from Congress to assume command of the army. Furthermore, Washington endorsed the passage of the Alien and Sedition Acts that were designed to protect the United States from the extensive French Jacobin conspiracy. It is therefore no wonder that the vengeful eye of the Jesuits was focused on George Washington. After leaving office in 1797, Washington lived only 2 years and 9 months. From the onset of his illness in 1799 to his death was a mere 2 days.
As with Monroe's
death, the symptoms leading up to Washington's death.
Just some fascinating stuff there. I know a lot of people will be like, no, this, and this, and blah, 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 blah. I'm just giving you kind of another angle on it with the understanding of the penetration of organizations, okay? And I'm looking at this Jesuit machinations running parallel with Jewish machinations due to the fact that Jesuits been expelled by 80-something countries, Jews well over 100. These parallels run in so many places, it's just fascinating. And now another parallel. This was last week, Christians for Truth. "Caving to Jewish demands, Anglican Church of Canada will no longer pray for the conversion of Jews. Following the lead of the Catholic Church in removing the Latin Mass, which prays for the conversion of the Jews," see, the Jesuits are at war with the Latin Mass and all the traditionalist Catholics, Society St. Pius X, and everybody further towards the conservative side of them. The Anglican Church of Canada has also capitulated, much to the gloating relief of the Christ-hating Jews across Canada. Okay? "The Anglican Church of Canada has voted to remove from its prayer books a prayer calling for the conversion of the Jews." So if you're a Christian and you're just saying, hey, we don't want to convert the Jews anymore, what are you saying? You want them damned? I mean, crazy stuff here. Okay? "At the time, the Anglican Bishop of Quebec said the change would help the church acknowledge and repent for its participation in anti-Semitism." See, Christianity is being strangled out. Okay, they've capitulated to the kosher mob. Okay, So very, very, you know, in 2021, Pope Francis restricted the use of the Matin Lass, a traditionalist liturgy that includes a prayer for the conversion of Jews, out of concern it was being used by those who did not accept the Catholic Church 1965 statement declaring that Jews were not responsible for Jesus' death. Oh, by the way, even though the Bible says they are. Anyway, I mean, you know, it's just so we're at this falling away point where it's just so over the top. Okay, now we've got a few minutes left. Since we're on the Catholic stuff, Mr. Producer, get clip 8 ready. This is Tucker Carlson talking to Mike Pence, who is a Roman Catholic that kind of parades around like he's an evangelical. Let's go ahead and play clip 8.
Military support. Make no mistake about this. We promised them 33 Abrams tanks in January. I heard again 2 weeks ago in Ukraine they still don't have them. We've been telling them we'll train their F-16 pilots, but now they're saying maybe January we'll let somebody transfer some jets.
I'm sorry, Mr. Vice President. Have you? I know you're running for president. You are distressed. You are distressed that the Ukrainians don't have enough American tanks. Every city in the United States has become much worse over the past 3 years.
Yeah.
Drive around. There's not one city that's gotten better in the United States. And it's visible. Our economy has degraded. The suicide rate has jumped. Public filth and disorder and crime have exponentially increased. And yet, your concern is that the Ukrainians, a country most people can't find on a map, who've received tens of billions of U.S. tax dollars, don't have enough tanks. Right. I think it's a fair question to ask, like, where's the concern for the United States? It's in that.
Well, it's not my concern. Tucker.
That's acting funny.
I've heard that routine from you before, but that's not my concern. I'm running for president of the United States because I think this country's in a lot of trouble. I think Joe Biden has weakened America at home and abroad. And as president of the United States, we're going to restore law and order in our cities. We're going to secure our border. We're going to get this economy moving again. And we're going to make sure that we have men and women on our courts at every level that will stand for the right to life and defend all the God-given liberties enshrined in our Constitution. Anybody that says that we can't be the leader of the free world and solve our problems at home has a pretty small view of the greatest nation on earth.
We can do go ahead, both. Stop it.
And yeah, as president of the United States, we will secure
both. Our debt, our economy is in shambles. I mean, think about Pence. And no, it's not my concern. See, he's under orders. And think about this. He's a Roman Catholic. This is a war on orthodoxy. See, there's a hybrid war going on where the Jews want Khazaria, right? The papacy wants to end the great schism between the Orthodox Church and the Catholic Church, which happened in the 11th century. So this is a Jesuit war on the Orthodox, just like the whole thing with Serbia and Croatia, Bosnia, and all that whole thing that happened under Clinton in the 90s. This was a Jesuit war on the Orthodox, and as well as a Jewish war on the Slavs, because they want Khazaria. They want to turn this into Khazaria 2.0, as we've talked about ad nauseum on the broadcast, and, you know, BlackRock and all these guys, they already got tons of this money. It's all floating around now that they've already got billions out of this, and they're going to be, you know, J.P. Morgan and these guys are going to rebuild Goldman's. They're going to rebuild Khazaria, and they're going to get paid to do it. Guess who's going to pay for it? The funny money, Babylonian money magic system. It's all going to be on our backs, though. You know, but Pence, another. Now, Mr. Producer, get clip 7 ready. This is Jim Caviezel. He's Catholic, with General Michael Flynn, Catholic, whose brother is still a general high up in the military circles. And there's a lot coming out about this Sound of Freedom movie, and people are exposing things about it. and we'll probably talk about that a little bit at the bottom of the break, but let's listen to Caviezel. He's talking about the CIA already took an attempt on his life once, but let's go ahead and listen to that one.
I just saw this from Wall Street Silver, and it's got 4.7 million views. So let's just start there. It says his days are numbered, referencing me. They will make it look like an accident. He is likely correct. The CIA does this, and it is used for blackmailing their assets in high places to keep them in line. Hollywood actor Jim Caviezel says CIA operates world's biggest pedophile ring. Well, let me explain something to all of you in the world that think that I'm a little girl and I'm afraid of you. I'm not scared in the least bit. God brought me into Hollywood to become an actor. He asked me to do that. He was my intel officer, the greatest God, the only God. And he loved me enough to give me a purpose in my life because I was the lowest of the low at that time. And I would gladly trade my life to save these little ones because the screaming that I heard was so horrific. I can't sleep at night. At 3 a.m, for whatever reason, I can hear it. So like David, I love my God. I love him so much, I would give my life for him. Do you understand that? My life is okay, especially if it saves these little ones. So I want you to understand that when you try to do what you did to me on the Passion of the Christ, change the world narrative, you never scared me, and you don't scare me now. And it's also, I just want to say, I love General Flynn and how he gave his life, and guys like that inspire me. Warriors that I work with, SEAL teams that I work with, not the media. Yes, there's good media, like Lara Logan, people that are giving their lives. They actually go down there, not your stupid fact checkers. And by the way, do you have to go to fact-checking school? Where, is that like a doctorate degree, a master's degree? I'm asking Christians, public forget about, Christians, wake up. Stop fearing the devil more than you fear God. Stop being afraid. Stop, unlike you, I know I'm going to die someday. I'm not going to die by my own hand. I'm not going to commit suicide. I'm not. It may happen from an accident, and this has happened before, after the Passion of the Christ. That's right, 2009. Look up that date on Our Lady of Feast of Mount Carmel, what you tried to do. I'm not afraid of you.
So obviously he is pointing out that they tried to take his life before. For
all right, stop it there. So very interesting stuff with Caviezel. You know, this movie was done 5 years ago, and there a lot of people are talking about that, and so there's a real kind of break in alternative media circles right now over this Sound of Freedom movie, and we'll talk about a little bit of that when we come back on the other side.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Subscribe to the Freedom Times monthly newspaper, published since 1985. That's right, 1985. The Freedom Times pulls no punches and observes no sacred cows or taboos. The perilous times we live in are too critical for anything but honest discussion of America's plight. The Freedom Times is the antidote to the lies and distortions of the fake news media. There's no better way to inform and enlighten Americans than by reading The Freedom Times each month. New subscribers may sign up at the special rate of just $29 for 1 year or $55 for 2 years. Subscribe online by going to AmericanFreedomNews.us or mail your subscription to The Freedom Times, P.O. Box 218, Wildwood, Pennsylvania, 15091. That's The Freedom Times, P.O. Box 218, Wildwood, Pennsylvania, 15091. Support America's best patriotic newspaper and one of the very few left by becoming a subscriber to The Freedom Times today.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Network. So, Sound of Freedom, you know, National Files got an article up about this Carlos Slim. They're saying he's linked to the funding, and I don't know where this link is. I'm just putting this out there. So, brings to light the horror of human trafficking. However, there's one major question about the film. Why did Carlos Slim, a man with connections to the Mexican cartels, of course, who are major human traffickers, Hillary Clinton and Hunter Biden fund the film. Now people are saying there's a limited hangout going here. It's not going to, let's just say, all the various parties that are involved. So the CIA gets thrown under the bus, I guess. Shadowy cartels and this sort of thing. But I guess the all the way up the food chain to the political class and so forth, and the, you know, the untouchables, they, I guess, get it's a limited hangout and they don't get the blame. So Trump warned America about Carlos Slim and his connections with the New York Times, and Hillary saying, now Carlos Slim, as you know, comes from Mexico. He has given many millions of dollars to the Clintons and their organizations. And we know how many children are coming up through the border and, you know, moving through Panama and all these other places. So very, very interesting there. Mr. Producer, get clip 5 ready. Now, this is Greg Reese. Now, Alex Jones went into a whole gymnastics act trying to say he disagreed with Greg Reese, but didn't want to throw him under the bus because he knows Greg Reese does these huge videos for him over on band.video. And so just like he kind of did with when Reese did a harsh video on Elon Musk. Jones said, well, I don't know if I agree with all of it, blah, 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 blah. So go ahead and play a clip five real quick.
Many good-hearted people have strong emotions about the environment, and their emotions are so strong that they have been manipulated by a corrupt government to castrate themselves and castrate their own children to save the earth from climate change. This should teach us something about our emotions. They can blind us from logic and reason, and we all have them. This report is not a critique of the film The Sound of Freedom. I saw this film, and I appreciate that it is bringing awareness to a subject that I personally have very strong emotions about. This report is about a clear red flag that people should be aware of so that we don't allow our emotions to blind us from logic and reason. According to MKUltra whistleblowers, the CIA acquired children for Project Monarch by cataloging child pornography sent through the U.S. mail. And the only thing that's changed since then is that the world has gone digital. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, or the NCMEC, went international in 1999. The ICMEC was launched by Hillary Clinton and Tony Blair, with Richard Branson acting as a founding sponsor. It is now partnered with law enforcement in over 150 territories, including Interpol and Europol. In 2009, the Clinton Global Initiative partnered with the Polaris Project, and by 2014, they created a global modern-day slavery database of organizations in 199 countries to monitor human trafficking. Also in 2009, Amber Ready Incorporated selected the Podesta Group, the infamous pedophile art collectors of the WikiLeaks Podesta email scandal, to be their PR company, where they were responsible for promoting Amber Ready's cell phone technology, which created a database of children so that if they ever were abducted, their information was already on file. Once this child database syndicate was launched, human trafficking increased. Within 9 years, the human trafficking industry went from around $30 billion a year to $150 billion a year. Nearly all child pornography is processed and stored within this framework on foreign servers in Sweden. In 2014, President Obama assigned the task of how to manage this gathered intelligence data to John Podesta. The Clintons, the Podestas, and their friends are demonstrably involved on the criminal side of child sex trafficking. If this is news to you, I recommend my report from 2019, Are the Clintons Involved in Human Trafficking?, which is based on the well-researched article by Corey Diggs. And it is this group who manage and run Polaris, the ICMEC, and the NCMEC. And these are the same groups that Angel Studios, producers of The Sound of Freedom, are directing people to as a way to combat child trafficking. The billionaire who has been funding Tim Ballard's operation is Carlos Slim, who has also funded Hillary Clinton and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And if you believe that the Democrats are the problem, then I recommend you look into the Franklin cover-up and the Bohemian Grove. Pedophilia is how the Hidden Hand controls their politician puppets. Awareness of this horrific problem is good, and perhaps Angel Studios is unaware of who they are promoting. But if we think that the same NGOs whose efforts increased the child sex trade by 500% will somehow end child sex slavery, then maybe we are too emotional to think clearly. And that's a problem, because this same cabal is pushing a totalitarian surveillance state. They're already pushing the idea of microchipping your children to keep them safe. And without logic and reason, the people will demand it, and our children will be more enslaved than ever. Reporting for InfoWars,
you can stop that there. So, Carlos Slim and the Podestas being involved with this National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and just very weird stuff. You know, and this Ballard guy, they're saying with CIA and Mormon, you know, when the Mormons are a big recruiting ground for some of these alphabet agencies. Just a lot of strange stuff here, you know, don't know how to take it. RFK Jr., COVID is an ethnically targeted bioweapon designed to spare Jews. Now, this is on Israel 365 News. So Democrat presidential candidate RFK Jr. is known for voicing controversial opinions on vaccines, COVID-19, but his most recent theory, ruffled feathers, sounding suspiciously like an anti-Semitic blood libel. During a question and answer session at a campaign press dinner at Tony's DiNapoli on East 63rd Street, Manhattan on Thursday night, RFK Jr. floated his bizarre theory. There's an argument that is ethnically targeted, he said. COVID-19 attacks certain races disproportionately, Kennedy said. COVID-19 is targeted to attack Caucasians and black people. People who are most immune are Ashkenazi Jews and Chinese. Now, who else said this about, what, a year and a half ago? It was Dr. Lee Merritt said that. If you remember, I played it on this broadcast, and I was like, whoa, that's weird. And so, you know, Rents had up an article. Let me see if I got Rents up. Oh, yeah. Rents had up an article that says why Chinese idolized the Jewish mind from, and this was from like 08, a book titled Jews, Why Are They Rich? Would be considered anti-Semitic in every other country in the world. In China, however, it is a sort of a compliment. Ronan Medzini elaborates on the Chinese people's idolization of the Jewish mind. And this is from April 13, 2008 on Ynet News. When I present myself to a Chinese person, it always boosts my ego. A Jew, very smart, is the immediate response. Is mostly followed by, you are very good at business. There's no doubt, however, that my favorite response is, you like Einstein. There is indeed a certain similarity between Einstein and myself. And blah, blah, blah. But, and he says, although the large majority of the Chinese have never met a Jew, the prevailing opinion in China praises and glorifies the Jews and the state of Israel. Other pearls of wisdom by the Chinese include, Israel is small and surrounded by enemies, but manages to survive and succeed. And China and Judaism are the only things that have maintained their character throughout history. And I'm not going to read any more of the article. I'm going to go back to the RFK thing about Ashkenazi Jews and Chinese. We don't know whether it was deliberately targeted or not, but there are papers out there that show the racial or ethnic differential and impact. He suggested that more catastrophic pandemics were in the works. We do know that the Chinese are spending hundreds of millions on developing ethnic bioweapons, and we are developing ethnic bioweapons. Yeah, I guess in all those labs in the Ukraine. They're collecting Russian DNA. They're collecting Chinese DNA so we can target people by race. All these people get their nose swabbed, and it ends up in China during the COVID scamdemic. Very, very fascinating article. I'm trying to just pump through towards the end of the broadcast here, knock some of this out. Over 1 million Israelis visit the United Arab Emirates since the Abraham Accords signing. Okay. So they're talking about how Bahrain and the UAE, a lot of Jews are going there for vacation and so forth. Almost 1 in 10 Israelis have visited the UAE since the end of 2020. And it talks about, you know, and it really made me think of the merger of the WWE and the UFC under Endeavor with Ari Emanuel, and how big the UFC is in Abu Dhabi and the United Arab Emirates. And it's very fascinating how this all kind of, you know, comes together. But there was a thing that happened with in the UFC over the weekend. Well, last weekend, okay? And well, let me see. I'm trying to find the article. Anyway, it has to do with South Africa. And there's a guy named Dricus du Plessis. He is a South African white guy. And he just beat the number two guy in the world in the 185-pound UFC weight, class. And so the champion is a guy named Israel Adesanya, and he is from originally Nigeria, okay? But he's also, I'm looking for this article, I might not have it. Oh, here it is. So anyway, so Adesanya is the champion, and he was born in Nigeria, and his family moved to New Zealand when he was a kid. And so there's a big dust-up because this Duplessis character, he's going to be fighting Adesanya for the title. And Duplessis is born and raised in South Africa. And so he basically made the point that I'll be the only real African champion because the heavyweight guy, Francis Ngannou, was originally from Cameroon, but lives in the United States. And there's one more guy. He's a 170-pound. Oh, Kamaru Usman. Now he was born in Nigeria also, but he grew up in the United States and so forth. And so none of these guys live in Africa, but they're all African, bloodlines and first generation immigrants to other countries. So the Duplessis, the white guy, makes this comment that, I'll be the first real African champion, and pissed all these black guys off, of course. And then so Adesanya gets in the ring after Duplessis beats this guy, this other guy, Robert Whittaker, and he starts calling him dropping the N-bomb on him and all this. And so now you've got this big racial, it's almost like the WWE since they've merged, but you've got this big racial destabilization operation going on in the UFC, where now there are all these commentators and videos over it. I mean, it's just been hundreds of them, and everybody's taken a side and so forth. And so now you've got this big racial thing going on with a white South African guy and a black Nigerian guy that lives in another country. So there's an article up floating around all over the place. So Win for Afra Forum in South Africa, calling for the slaughtering of white people is hate speech. So there's all these, there's a guy in the picture, an activist wearing a kill all white people T-shirt in South Africa, kill the Boer. All of us on RBN and our family here, we know about the whole story of South Africa and Julius Malema from the Economic Freedom Fighters, which is a Marxist group, the terrorist ANC, the African National Congress, and so forth. And so you've got some things happening where basically, okay, well, maybe he is calling for the death of all white people in South Africa. Maybe that is hate speech. And so you keep your eyes on South Africa, folks. Unfortunately, the white people that live there are under severe, severe danger. Okay, just like every other country. Look what's happening in France. All those white people, tons of people, I guarantee you, have been killed, and they're trying to keep it quiet during these riots. So a lot of things going on. Joe Biden authorized the activation of up to 3,000 reserve troops and up to 450 members of the IRR, which is the Individual Ready Reserve. So if you've been in the military, the IRR is like I had to sign an 8-year contract when I went in the Marine Corps. 4 years active and then 4 years in the IRR. So during that second 4 years, while I was out being, playing civilian again, I was still under contract to the Corps, and they could have called me up at any time from 1993 to 1997. Okay. So what's crazy though, nobody from the IRR has been called up since 2009, and that was during like some Ebola crisis or something. So a lot of people are looking at this, as like, great, we're on the verge of some sort of World War III here. We'll see. far-left presidential candidate Cornel West weighs in. Biden committed crime against humanity, against blacks, and that had to do with the big crime bills in the 90s and all this. So it looks like he's going to run on the Green Party. And David Axelrod says, in 2016, the Green Party played an outsized role in tipping the election to Trump. Now, with Cornel West as their likely nominee, they could easily do it again. Risky business. So you're having Cornel West thrown under the bus by the Dems because he might run third party as a Green. Boston's Democrat mayor compiles a list of her critics' names and gives it to police. So this Chinese mayor of Boston, that's, you know, this is how communist Massachusetts and the Bostonians are. They elected this Michelle Wu, a Chinese. Okay, so you've got, I'll guarantee you, she is a Chinese Communist Party stooge, just like Ted Lieu, that congressman out there in California. And she's the mayor of Boston. And she's given lists of her critics and names to police in typical communist fashion. California implementing new K through 12 mathematics framework based on social justice. That new framework for teaching math that revolves around the progressive concepts of equality. I mean, this is California, folks. How insane. Defiant Biden regime forgives student loans to hundreds of thousands of borrowers comes 2 weeks after Supreme Court ruling. This is tyranny. This is an out-of-control executive that just says, F you to the Supreme Court. We'll do what we want. You see, this is, I mean, this, they should all be locked up. But what happens? Nothing. I mean, ecstasy should be used to cure people of their hateful and anti-Semitic beliefs, the Jewish Daily Forward. If you learned that a single pill had led a neo-Nazi to renounce his hateful beliefs, would you demand more research to find out if the pill really works? Ignore existing evidence and continue to outlaw the pill. So what we've long known, that MDMA, more popularly known as Molly or ecstasy, is an effective treatment for PTSD. Israel's used it for this purpose since 2019, but there is also some preliminary evidence that the drug can turn haters into lovers, making it a powerful tool for de-radicalization. I wonder what else they got up their freaking sleeve, huh? You got wrong think. You better, you know. Ray Epps sues Fox News for defamation, citing Tucker Carlson labeling him a Fed. I mean, this is the laughable nature that our country's in. The guys on video doing this stuff, and Chris Ray and these people, you know, we don't know nothing about Epps. Bill Clinton accompanies Alex Soros. This was last week, you know, real crazy to the Vatican. So billionaire and investor and Davos Illuminati kingpin Soros passed the control of his $25 billion empire to one of his sons, Alexander, according to an exclusive interview with the Wall Street Journal. The 37-year-old immediately gained popularity amongst the leftist media after he told the Wall Street Journal that he was more political than his 92-year-old father. He also pledged under his leadership the foundation will give greater support to so-called voting rights and abortion, which, as we all know, is still considered a grave sin by the Catholic faith. The Catholic Church in the U.S. has been for a long time one of the foremost opponents of legal abortion, teaching human life is sacred. So nobody expected to see Alex Soros, the new boss of the Open Society Foundation, to be received by Pope Francis in a private audience at the Casa Santa Marta, the papal residence, on July 5th. He also met with Bill Clinton, and Clinton's delegation included Soros and other members of the American Democratic elite. But, of course, Soros, a young Sabbatean Francist and aspiring leader, was there to receive blessings from his Jesuit overlord for his role as the new chairman of the Open Society Foundations. Now, George Soros allegedly is a Knight of Malta, but, you know, you see things floating around like that. The philanthropic giant has always worked under Jesuit supervision and has unfortunately influenced American politics for years, as well as being a CIA tool to organize the so-called color revolutions and various coups around the world. That's on Leo Zagami's website. Mike Stone, Crocodile Tears for Entitled Hollywood Traitors. Now, I had an email from a listener. Hi, Robert. Listen to your show all the time via archives. I retired from the film industry last summer after working behind the camera for 37 years on films and TV shows. I worked with many big-name actors and directors, etc. So as an insider to the industry, I think this SAG-AFTRA writer's strike is a fake. All these big-time actors, producers, writers, and directors are very much intertwined with each other. Fran Drescher, the current president, we know she was in The Nanny and all that. So just like when Larry Silverstein had a dentist appointment on 9/11, the strike is a hoax, as they know something big on the horizon. They want to wrap up everything and run to their bunkers, etc. The story is like a Potemkin village story. It's a facade of fake grievances that writers and actors have against the producers. Meanwhile, they're all in collusion with each other, and so they conjure up this Potemkin strike so these Hollywood millionaires can get out of town and run to their hideouts. The purpose of this fake strike is to eliminate any suspicion is why these elites don't want to work anymore, and I would just add probably to stay in the L.A. area. So he's like, there's a 40% chance I'm right about this, but now I raise it to 50-50. So he thinks that there's something about to happen, and a lot of these people are going to want to get out of town and some sort of civil unrest, some sort of new scamdemic release. Who knows? More nations rolling out digital IDs and making them mandatory for citizens to access bank accounts. Now, Ethiopia has announced we'll make the transition to mandatory digital IDs for all citizens. And there's a whole ton of stuff I didn't get to. Hope you enjoyed the broadcast, folks. We'll see what happens next. Everybody take care.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.